Tonight, I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Regarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, trying to talk from further back so we don't spike the audio giant. So, Broadcast Central at Motormouth Radio, you have tuned in to the left side of the dial with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, for another rousing week of automotive talk and a great guest. And I have to say, what I want you to do, I want you all to do this. Put your hand, one hand on the radio and the other wherever you think it should be. And I give you Mr. Chris Switzer. Hey, Chris.
Ray, how are you, my brother? That was a very colorful intro.
Very good.
Thank you. There was a good friend of mine.
That was by Dr. J.
Yeah, there was a good friend of mine that I used to work with in college. He used to do like a rhythm romance show. And I used to intro him that way because he would come on after my show. And I would say, it's Rhythm Romance with Matt Binky. That was his name. And take one hand and put it on the radio and take the other hand and put it wherever you like.
And as we just discussed before the show, I had watched Hollywood Nights last night. And that was the line used by Dr. J, who the actor's name was actually Harvey Miller. I didn't know who he was. He played the DJ, the slick DJ in that movie. Go check it out. You love it. So anyway.
And the car of the future, right? That show was sponsored by the car of the future.
Oh, Studebaker. Studebaker. That's correct. Look how well that worked out. So anyway, you've tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on the island of Long. And we are going to have a good guest today, Chris. We're going to have Mr. Keith Sturton with us. Keith is a great graphic artist, and he does a lot of cool stuff. So we'll have him at the bottom of the hour. Anyway, you can maybe try and give us a call at 516-256-9510. But follow us on social media, Motormouth Radio, Twitter, and the internet, which I currently still don't have, is motormouthradio.com or whichever moniker you need to use for those things. And on Instagram, it's real_MotormouthRadio, which of course is Joe's favorite, where you can see pictures of what we get involved in during the week and all that good stuff. And Motormouth videos, Motormouth Radio videos. You can follow, look at that on YouTube and follow some stuff on there. As we put that content up, we'll get to it.
That's right. You can see as Ray's video stream is hanging by a thread. You can count how many times. We're going to count how many times Ray freezes up during the course of the hour. So we'll have a
That's because I am. Yeah, the way I'm getting my internet is by tethering it from my cell phone. Mm-hmm. I'm using the actual internet part of my cell phone to power my PC, which is also powering, you know, an end of PC. Of course, powers the, you know, the mic and the. But when you try to do too many things, which isn't much at once, it drags it down fast.
Oh yeah, that string and cup affair that you're using is a pretty good technological marvel, right, in its own right. So we're watching you. We're keeping vigil, and I'll just know to keep talking. If I see you freeze up, I'm just going to keep talking.
Yeah. Yes, please do that. I want to tell you something. At the shop this week, Mike's friend Nick, he has a new Mustang, and he had seen that Mike had this really cool retractable sunshade in his car and said, hey, where'd that come from? And Mike said, well, Ray buys those all the time for his cars, and that's why I got it. So they asked, you know, Mike had remembered that there had been a coupon code for that we had set up years ago. I said, look, I don't know if it is anymore, but Nick tried it. He went on the website, ordered one, and the coupon code is still live. So if you go to Eclipse Sunshades, and I think there's a link to them on our website. I didn't get to check it. I think there may be. You'll see it's a nice retractable sunshade that meets in the middle by your mirror. I have them in, what, four of my cars and love them. The coupon code MOTORMOUTH10 still applies. So if you want to go on there and buy one, you can get 10% off on us. And don't tell them we sent you, because then again, you'd think that if they wanted to, usually those codes are temporary, then they take them down, and they didn't. So enjoy 10% on us.
Very cool. Yeah. It's good to know that we still have some pull with some of the small to medium sized businesses out there. That's very cool. And yeah, those shades are great, right?
Yeah,
you always tout them, and I know you don't like your steering wheel warm. I know that. You don't like your interior warm.
Right.
So I know you have that 4-degree window of opportunity, because anything higher than the 4 degrees is too hot. Anything lower than that 4-degree window is too cold. So we know you like to keep your butt and your hands pampered. So we know that.
Yes.
Well absolutely. Aware of it here in the Motormouth Radio Studios, and laugh about it often. But
yeah. So what's going on? Did you do anything this week? Let me tell you this. Our caller Steve from West Hempstead had called last week, couldn't get through. He left a voice message that I was able to hear, and he recommended that the fix for your oil pan that you laid out, and people may want to go back to last week's show to hear this. Go to MotormouthRadio.com. You can hear that. You said you found a dent in the oil pan.
Yes.
And Steve, just so you know, Steve waited and said he would remove it, put it on a table, and use a block of wood to, a block of wood and a hammer to remove that dent.
That's actually a very good idea, and rightly so. That may be the case. Here's the plan. I'm going real fast. What I'm going to do is, of course, like you had said, got under the car, found a dent in the oil pan that I did not do. I didn't see it. It was so dirty. I was actually cleaning it up, and I went, what is this? Half-inch depression in the middle of the oil pan. What the heck's going on? So, but of course, I was in the process of removing the transmission fluid and the filter. I was going to drop the pan, and then I saw that, and then I, of course, as I'm leering at the dented oil pan, I get a drip of coolant on my neck, which was the third problem. So I was beside myself most of the week. But what ended up happening was, the plan is, here's what I'm going to do. First thing I did was I yanked the radiator out, and I brought it over to my radiator guy. It used to be called A1, but they closed, and now it's called A2. So I went over there, got the radiator, literally pressure tested. First I got it repaired and pressure tested, and now it's fine. It's fine. The bottom of the the case at the bottom of the radiator was cracked at both brackets. For some reason, they were brazed, and then the brackets were resoldered to it. So I spent a good chunk of cash on that. So the radiator's back in the car. So I figured, okay, that job's done. Let's go right to the transmission pan. So the transmission pan, getting the transmission fluid out, was a bit of a drag. The transmission was serviced before, you can tell. But I was able to use a pretty thick spatula to slide in there to actually break free the back of the seal between the transmission and the pan. I was able to slice it a little bit and drop it down and pour most of the transmission fluid into a catch pan. And I say most, because you never get it all in there. I challenge the man or woman or mechanic who actually from the ground can get all the transmission fluid out of the pan and into his catch pan without getting any on the sides. I still can't do it. I thought I could, couldn't do it. Anyway, so we were able to get the pan down, got the pan out. I checked the grit at the bottom of the pan. Very clean. I was very impressed, Ray. Big sigh of relief on this end. I was very pleased with that. And I dropped the filter, and I'm in the process today, after the show, I'm going to put the pan back up. I'm going to put the seal on. You were going to say. It was rolling over there.
I have a device that would solve that problem for you.
What? The many problems I have? which
no, just this one about draining the transmission.
Oh, okay.
The rest of them you're on your own. And I brought this down to the shop in Limerick one time, and Mike was like, "Wow, where'd you get that?" It's actually, it looks like an inverted garbage can lid,
mm-hmm.
except it's bigger than a garbage can lid. It's got to be about, 30 inches in diameter. It kind of comes down in the sure. bottom. You know, it's angled, and it has a drain, a center piece that has all sorts of holes in it to catch junk. And what you do is you use that in the shop. Pans that you lift up under the oil pan, you know, the typical oil drain you use for engine oil. You right. lay this on top of that, and now it gives you a big 2.5 foot wide swatch to catch all that fluid. So when you're doing oil, it's good. When you do transmissions, it's even better.
Yes, but you're doing it the gentleman way when the car is up on the lift. You're under the car. That's easy.
No, you can do this. I've done this on the driveway too with that on a bucket. It's just a little harder to work around because it is in your way. You can do I said you can use it under the car as well. It's just a little harder to get around because it is big.
Yes, you know. And that's the problem because you can't get your hand around that large lip that large area to get your hand in there to undo the rest of the bolts because you have to take the bolts off sequentially to get the pan to drop in one corner over the other. So it has to be four corners of the pan. Right. You have to favor one corner to get all the fluid to spill out and into it. So that's the trick to do that. And you know that. So that was the trick. And then, of course, I failed miserably trying to do it. But I got the pan down. I got the floor mopped up. So we've gotten that far in the process. So we're going to go back to rebuilding as soon as I take these headphones off, basically.
And I'll tell you what, talking about catching drips and making things out of nothing. Our guest is with us, Mr. Keith Sturgeon. Keith, pleasure to see you.
Hey, Keith.
Can you hear us?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, you sound good.
Excellent.
Oh. Thank you. Yeah.
Keith has been a regular on the Plane and Traffic show on Thursday nights. That's where I first met him.
Right.
And, you know, we spent some time together and saw his work. And now, you know, Keith comes in with the B shift, as it were. Like, when Lewis leaves, like a bunch of us hang out and do our second show. And that's when Keith was hanging with us too. So he's become one of the guys over there. So,
right. He's hanging with the rummy crowd.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he's no problem hanging out in the back alley. He can hang with the best and the worst of them, apparently, because he hangs with us. So, Keith, introduce yourself to the Motormouth Radio listening audience. Tell us all what you do and how you do it, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, my name is Keith Sturgeon. I'm out of Austintown, Ohio. In my real life, I'm a customer service rep, but as a hobby and something I hope to pursue more serious as a pinstripe artist. And I've been pinstriping probably for the last 6 years.
Right.
And what caught your attention, Ray, is something that I'm doing now that from what I've been told, no one else is doing it. I haven't seen anybody else doing it. And it's something different. And that's doing portraits with pinstripes.
Yeah, absolutely. I was explaining it to Chris because we have a lot of friends who are painters and stripers. And that's something that's just I was explaining to Chris earlier. I said if you picture a picture on the wall, be it a painting or a drawing or whatever, and you look at it visually, and then you get closer to it, you know, you can see – the detail of that picture. I said, in this case, you'll see what looks like fingerprint swirls because it's all done with pinstripes. And the fact that you're doing that on your Instagram page, there's a quick video of you doing that with the bare eye, you know, and it's like, man, I'm thinking you would, I mean, I just painted some headlight bezels for my car and I was using my lighted magnifier and my glasses, you know, like, and I think of what you do. It's like, we all have a place.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. It's enjoyable. And I get some great comments from people out there, such as yourself. I have a great friend out in California. His name's Johnny Martinez. And he's a pinstriper out in California, and he actually asked if he could call me. And I was like, okay. I never met him before, but we spoke over the phone, and he told me what I'm doing. No one else is doing, and to keep going at it. And
I agree.
Yeah. He's actually bought a couple pieces off of me. So I've been blessed as far as getting some great comments from some big names in the industry, and it's really helped tremendously. So,
Keith, how do you work?
And I'll tell you what.
No, I just want to know, how do you work? Do you work on a wall, or do you work on an easel, or what would you say, a drafting board or a flat table? How do you work the wheel?
Okay, well, what I'm doing now with these portraits, I work on basically an easel, a wall that I built, and it's on canvas, and I'm using one-shot pinstriper sign painter's paint, and I'm using a scrolling brush. So in reality, I can go right from the portrait right to the fender on your car and put some lines on with the same paint.
Because I'm wondering, now, this is just something I'm just thinking about. So, how do you deal with the drips at all? Or what do you do about that working on a wall? Wouldn't it be, I'm just thinking working on a flat surface would probably be better? I don't know. I'm just, what do you do about gravity?
Well, you just load your brush very carefully.
Okay.
And you can't overthin the paint. If you overthin the paint, you're going to get runs. So you have to, you can work straight out of the can for a short amount of time. But as the carrier of the pigments starts to evaporate, the paint thickens up. So you have to use thinner or reducer to take it back down again in order to lay the stripes on there.
Right.
So if you take your time and knock on wood, I've been really, really lucky. I mean, really lucky.
Cool.
And so I've been fortunate that I haven't had any major mishaps.
Very good.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
So, Keith, I didn't realize that you did customer service during the day. I thought you were a full-time artist. Just looking at your work.
No.
Damn, you're certainly talented enough. Okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
You would be the kind of customer service guy I'd want to talk to. I tell you that because the ones I've been dealing with my internet service, the ones I don't want to talk to, they're not nice at all. But wow, how did you get into pinstriping? Because that's not something you just jump into.
Well,
okay, where do we?
Like I said, I've been doing it for about 6-7 years, and the way it all happened was I had a bike painted by a friend that I met online, and he lived near me, and I went over there and we started working together after he did my bike, and I started messing with that. And what happened was I got hurt at work, so I went over there while I was off just messing around, and he gave me a paintbrush and I started messing around with it. And then the next day I went over there, he had a set of paints and a brush. The rest is history. I'd just been playing with it all the time. And
wow.
And you have to do that. If you don't practice daily, it's gone, and then you have to start all over again.
Yeah, we've kind of all gone through that thing. I know Chris has, and I played with it years ago, so we all have friends who are in that business. And it's the whole thing, okay, pull a straight line, now pull it an inch, 2 inches, now do it 8 feet. And we've all tried, and we find what we're good in and not at flames. That's my thing. And I actually taught my daughter, who does painting, how to do flames. So she does flowers and flames, which is pretty cool. But to be able to do, the things that I see the professionals do is just mind-boggling. Chris, I'm sure you'll back that one up. It's fantastic.
No, you're absolutely right. Sorry. Keith, were you always artistic? Did you draw as a kid? And
I did. I really did. I drew all the time. And in my last 2 years of high school, I went to the vocational school for commercial art.
Oh, cool.
But then after I graduated, I messed around, but it was 30 years before I really started doing art on a full-time basis. And so for the last, like I said, 6-7 years, I probably have a brush in my hand almost every day after I get home from work.
Love it. Right. Because you're absolutely right. A true artist always never lets go of the brush, never lets go of the pencil. You always have it in your hand, always, and it's impressive, very impressive what you're doing. And you're right. You know, I hate to say it, but just to be a commercial artist, it's tough. It's a tough business. You're always vying for that job. But when you find that niche, when you find that thing that no one else is doing, that's a home run. That's a home run right there. That's great.
Yeah, I've been real lucky with that, and I don't want to be a name dropper, and I'm not going to do so.
Oh, come on. No one's listening.
Well, there's a gentleman named Ryan
Evans. I'm going to ask you to, because I want you to tell.
Ryan Evans was the very first one that I did for him as a portrait, and it was I don't know why I chose to do it. I don't know what made me do it, but I did it, and I sent it to him, and he thought it was – amazing. He told me he loved it. Well, I sent him one this past year at using the same photograph as reference, and it looks like a kindergartner did the first one, which that was the stage I was in. And now I'm a senior, so I got better. And he told me, and he's written me telling me how, again, no one else is doing this, and it's just absolutely amazing. So it really makes me proud of what I'm doing, you know. It really does.
Keith, tell Chris in the audience how you had the big breakthrough you had, the portrait that you sent out to the Left Coast.
Oh, yes.
That's quite impressive.
I'm trying to get my name out there. I've sent different things to different celebrities and car people in general. And not too long ago, I sent one to Mr. Jay Leno. Ooh. And I just took a shot that hopefully I want to send it to his garage that he would get it. So I sent it, and I did the tracking, and I saw that it was there. And I was like, okay, well, made it to the building, but is anyone going to open it up? Is anybody going to see it? So the following day, I think it was, I'm driving home from work, and my cell phone rings, and it says unrestricted call. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to pick this up. But I says, well, I got my business card out there. Maybe somebody's interested in something. So I picked it up and said, hello, this is Keith. He goes, Keith, this is Jay Leno. And I'm like, nah, it's not Jay Leno. And someone's, you know, busting their chops. He goes, no, really, this is Jay Leno. I got that picture. And if you check your email, I sent you a picture of me holding the painting. And sure enough, it was Jay Leno. He called me and thanked me.
Wow.
So it was really, really cool.
Now, the closest we get is we get to tell a story. We have a Jay Leno story, too. Our good friend Steve Linden, he's an auto appraiser and author and many other things. He went out to do an episode of Leno's Garage. Oh, Christ. What is that, like probably 10 years ago, I guess.
At least.
And he said, would you like me to bring anything? And I said, yeah. We gave him Motor Mouth Radio t-shirts that we had at the time. I said, yeah, bring these. Of course, Steve has these beautiful, we all wear them. It's a denim button-down shirt with embroidery on it, you know, just Steve Linden order praiser embroidered. So he's bringing those and nice polo shirts, and we're sending out t-shirts. So when he got back, I asked him, you know, how'd the trip go? And I said, Steve, what happened with the t-shirts? What happened with the t-shirts? He goes, oh, the t-shirts. I said, did you deliver them? Yeah, I delivered them. And he had this look on his face. I'm like, well, what happened? He goes, well, when you go into the garage, I asked where I could leave the stuff. And one of the producers guys said, oh, yeah, we're over here on the table. And there's like this swag table with all the stuff that comes in just gets dumped on that table. And he goes, and the guys just pick and choose from it. Like, I guess if they need a rag or if they need to light a Molotov cocktail on fire. Oh, there's t-shirts. Good for that. No, or if they need to clean paint thinners. He goes, so, yeah, I did deliver them. But like, okay, good enough. Thanks anyway. Yeah. You did what you said you would do. So that's as far as we got.
Yeah,
that is the risk you take. That is the risk you take.
Hey, you take a shot, right?
That's it. That's all you can do. And that's what I do when I send them to different celebrities. And one other neat story was we had the Supernats here at our hometown last year. And Dave Kindig was out there with Kev Dogg and parts of the crew. And I had done one for Dave Kindig, and I gave it to him, and he loved it so much that he asked to see my other work, and he bought another piece to give to his daughter and son-in-law, excuse me, as an anniversary gift. So that was really cool.
Okay.
Somebody of that caliber in a car, you know, in the car world, you know, was thinking that my work was worth purchasing. So
yeah. Well, that is fantastic. It certainly is. So now you're going on this kind of a bent with the portraits where you've done, you know, if people go to your Facebook page or if they go to Skeeter's Graphics with an X on Facebook, they can check out the work. And also you're on Instagram. What is your Instagram account name, by the way?
It's Skeeter's Graphics, and they can go there and friend me or, you know, check out my work there also.
I think Ray locked up. That sounds great. It's good because I was gonna. That's actually what I was doing right now. I was gonna go over. I figured Ray would still be talking.
Yeah, so did I. I think he still froze up.
Yeah, I think he is. That's for sure. No, because I actually do graphics myself as well. Not with the unique medium that you're using, and I find it's astonishing that you're taking these two things. You have to, when you're pinstriping a vehicle and using one shot, you have to put yourself in that mindset, right, Keith? That you just have to, follow, you're like so disciplined, you have to follow that contour and follow that line. And now you're taking that discipline and kind of using it artistically. You're taking the discipline and following a shape of an eyeball or a contour of a nose. Now you're going from something that's a hard edge and you're trying to use it in such a way that it makes a face. And that to me is, I'm trying to wrap a thought around that. That's like brilliant when you think about it.
Well, thank you. And you know, that's the other thing. I'll go over it in one color. Then I have to go over it in another color to add highlights or a darker area. So I might go over that same line 3 or 4 times.
Oh, wow.
So
it's not just one line on top of like a dark surface.
Lines. Right.
Wow.
Multiple lines.
So how do you work? Can you take me through not a start to finish, but give me some highlights of what you put something on. You set up that easel with a blank canvas and you have a thought in your head. What do you start with? Where do you start right from that point?
Well, when I'm doing, if say somebody wants me to do a painting for them or I just want to do one of my own, I'll go on the internet and find a subject that I like.
Okay. So you find
I'll
a shot.
Find
of
a them. Character. Or, right. And then I'll print out a picture of it. Okay. From that picture, I'll sketch it out on paper.
Okay.
It's hard to erase off the campus.
Yeah. So, that was where I was going, but go ahead.
So I'll draw it out on the paper, and then from there I'll transfer it to the canvas.
Got it.
And it's just a real rough outline, just where the eyeballs are, the nose and the mouth, pretty much.
You're getting a reference.
Exactly. That's basically all it is. And then from there I'll study that picture. I could study that picture for a day or two just so I could see how I want these lines and where I want these lines to go.
Right.
So I do everything with stripes other than the eyeballs and the teeth. Okay. I've done it before with the eyeballs and it just looks like they're tripping or something. You know, it just doesn't sell it. So I try to make the eyes as realistic as possible.
Got it. What do you use?
I use one shot enamel, small brush, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's with one shot. Everything.
Wow. That is totally amazing because you're taking that defined line and you're making something abstract. And that's, I'm really trying hard to imagine what's going on in your head when you're doing it. It's like, what are you thinking about?
Kind of just like the next, where I'm going to go next with it, you know, as far right. as where I'm going to place the next line. I don't know. I just come down here. I turn the radio on. I might have an adult beverage, depending on what time of the day it is.
That helps.
Yeah. And especially if I had a couple cups of coffee, I gotta back down a little bit. So
yeah.
So I'll go ahead and, you know, and I'll just start putting the lines on it. And some days it comes out and I can't stop. Some days it's just unbelievable. And there's other days where I'll go for a while without touching a painting. Like I did, the last one I did was a Keith Richards painting. And I had some real issues. I got to a certain point and, sorry, Mr. Richards, you're very wrinkly. And it took me a long time to figure out what I wanted to do. So that was probably one of the toughest ones I did.
Yeah, I believe it. Because I think I glanced by it on your Facebook page. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was interesting. What would you say your proudest one? What one would you lead off with if you were showing off your work? What would be the one that would start that show off?
Probably there's a band out there that I did all four members in. I don't want to get any mail, but Kiss. I did all the members of Kiss.
Oh, nice.
And it took me a while to do them, and I've gotten a lot of comments on it, and I'm pretty proud of those because I'll do the color and I do black and white. The black and white's kind of a phase I'm in right now, and I really enjoy doing the black and white.
When you do what era of Kiss? Hopefully the 70s, full
yes,
makeup.
Yes, the original members.
With Ace Frehley and Peter Criss and,
correct,
and Paul, correct, and Gene.
Right.
Cool. Yes.
Hi, fellas.
Hey, guess who's back?
Hey.
We've been having a ball, Ray.
I'm glad you did, Chris, because everything on this end just kind of, first Keith froze, then you froze, and I realized I'm talking to nobody.
You did.
Bada-bing.
So, you did. I was wondering if we were going to go to a commercial break or not.
Well, we couldn't until, well, I actually told Kim that we were done, but yeah, let me bring back, let me find my team viewer thing, and and we'll do that in a second, but we'll continue to talk in the meantime.
Well, no, Keith was just talking about one of the pieces of work that he would lead off with if he was going to show off his work, and the all four members of Kiss is that's what we were talking about. Doing Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Peter Criss, Ace Frehley in full makeup regalia. So, and that's definitely, that's awesome. Keith, it's all on one frame, or you have them on four individual frames?
Actually, the Kiss is all four individual pieces, so you can hang them however you want it. It'd be kind of cool. And I did do a Beatles black and white that has all four members on one canvas. It's a large canvas. That was the biggest one I ever did. And I want to do that. I want to get a real big canvas and do a real big one.
That is gutsy, because you have to make sure all four subjects are to your liking, right? You're doing four individual, not to make this sound, you know, not to belittle it at all. No, I'm far from it. But I mean, when you do all four, okay, you messed up the Peter Criss. All right, put that aside. Let's start over. And the other three are still cool. You're doing four subjects on one canvas. You got to make sure they're all perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to be honest with you, I had an issue with that. So. Yeah. So it is what it is. You just try to make do and, you know, change something up or that's what I did.
What do you do if you have an oops moment? Is there, not that you have to explain it by all means, I know I'm sure it's a trade secret, but what are there procedures you would have to go through in order to rectify a problem, or you just keep moving forward and going, it's part of the mistake. It's part of the hand-eye coordination.
Well, if the mistake is an honest mistake, when I say that, my breathing or something like that and a line comes together, mm-hmm, I have some extremely small brushes that I can do repair with.
Got it. You put on the yellow hard hat, you set up the cones.
Exactly.
And you get in there.
Get in
there. That's when you bust out that magnifier.
Yes. You got that right. That and also, if I'm lucky enough and say I do have a drip that comes off the brush, if it goes on an area that's set up for a while, I can use like rubbing alcohol and take off that paint that did drip. If I work quick enough, if I see it fast enough. So.
Got it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to see now, Keith. We're going to take a break and take our bottom of the hour break, although it's a little late. We'll take care of a little bit of business, and then we will come back with more of our great guest, Keith Sturgeon, and talk more about this great, fantastic artwork and how people can find it. Chris, do we have an honor group of the hour today?
Ray, of course, it's Sunday. It's Motor Mouth Radio. Of course, there is a Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour, and I'm sure Ray would definitely understand this one. If you haven't taken your classic car out for the season, well, guess what? Give yourself a big hand and take and remove the crying towel, because you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour. Are you still waiting for the right day? Are you still trying to put it all together? You can't find the car and all that junk in the garage? Give yourself a big pat on the back. You're part of the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour. And don't worry, your day will be here soon enough. There you go, Ray.
Excellent. And with this lost season, that plays to a lot of us. But okay, we're gonna take our break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Actually, be very quick. I was going to do a little long one. We'll make it even quicker. And we'll be back with more of Keith Sturgeon on Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com. All right, we're back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and special guest Keith Sturgeon today. Took a quickie break because we lost a little bit of time otherwise. So we're where did we leave off? I lost a big chunk of the show because I was indisposed, but
you took a technological walk around the block.
I did. Yes, I did. I did.
I am still fascinated with what Keith does. It's just it's something. It's a talent that I'm just trying to amass the talents that are combining here, because I'm an artist. I will draw all day long with a pencil. Unfortunately, life gets in the way, so you don't have a pencil in your hand every day. But I do try to do as much drawing as I can, and it really is. You really have to love it. Like a lot of times, I don't know, Keith, if you do this. Do you ever look at a blank canvas and it's like your worst enemy? Like you're just like, oh, I got to draw this, and I got to start with the first line. Where in the heck am I going to start? What do you do? What's your plan?
My plan. I just sit down. You know, walk away most of the time and just get a piece of paper and that work. If you ever saw my notebooks that I have to take information and notes for myself, there is not an empty spot on that page. There are doodles all over the place.
I love it.
And it's all pinstripes. and then I'll have a good idea and then I forget what page it's on, and I got to try to hurry up and copy it so I can take it home and use it for someone's vehicle. But,
you're a true artist. You keep accurate records.
I don't know if they're accurate.
That's what I mean. They never are. I have stuff drawn on cocktail napkins.
But you're doing all that kind of stuff at your day job, is what you're saying.
Yeah, messing around on the phone. I'm on the phone or the computer, you know, as I'm writing notes down. I'm just sitting there and I got a pen in my hand all the time.
That's great.
But,
I love it.
Yeah, it's what's really cool also is this industry, these guys that are pinstripers. And you know Artie Schilling. He contacted me and we talked a couple times. I reached out to him one time and he's a super cool dude. And all these guys are absolutely amazing. Everybody's willing to help each other and willing to praise each other and with donations and, you know, helping charities and stuff. It's absolutely amazing. I couldn't be in a better group of people than with Pinstripers. They're so cool. And everybody's got each other's back. It's amazing.
And they all have their own style. Yeah. And that's what I truly appreciate. You can tell the subtleties of each of their individual work. You can see their
definitely
what they do and how they do it. And what I love about them is that a lot of times they're so willing to share their secrets, which is great. They share their style and share their secrets. And it's such a lost art, and it's such an art that goes underappreciated a lot of times. You see a classic car, you see a hot rod. A lot of times you're looking at other things before you hit the pinstripe. You're looking at the engine. You're looking at the interior. You're looking at the overall paint. And then you go, wow, look at that pinstripe. And it's so underrated sometimes, where you want to walk up to a car sometimes and go, look at that pinstripes. It's awesome. But they're few and far between.
Yeah. You know? And where I live, I have there's Steve Shizaka and Guy Shively. And these two guys are absolutely amazing pinstripe artists. And to actually live in this area and have someone ask me to do some work on their vehicle, that makes me feel good, because I got these other guys that have been doing it forever that are phenomenal.
And they're putting you in that category, which is awesome.
Yeah, it just, I appreciate it. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a dream come true. The only thing that would be better if my parents were around to see this happening. That would be awesome. But
I get that.
Yeah,
totally understand that. What's your mind when you go to sign the trunk lid or whatever have you after your job is done? What is your logo? Do you have one?
I drew up a little Skeeter, because I go by Skeeter's Graphics. But I usually just put Skeeter. You know, that's how I usually sign it, as small as possible. And yeah.
I guess a lot of us deal with art in our own ways. You know, Chris, you do cartoon. I like to paint and do detail stuff. And like I said, I found that I can actually do fine line and some, you know, flame outline and stuff. And I see what my kids do. I'm supporting you, and I will be sending you a check tomorrow for one of your for Adam West, because that's got to be that. I think that is fantastic. We need to, as a community and as people as a whole, you know, we all do that. We're consumers. We like to buy what we like. We support what we like. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my foot forward and just do it, because I think that's what we need to do. Chris, you know, have you found any of the youngsters in your life kind of picking up an artistic bent yet?
Me, my little girl will draw, but she's like me. When I was her age, when I was six, I would draw the same car over and over and over and over again. I have 100,000 versions of this little simple car with rounded ends and two tires and a windshield. They're all convertible. She's doing the same thing. She's drawing like heads, and she draws like little aliens, but she'll do like 10,000 of them. So if you 10,000 aliens, she's right there for it. But yeah, she does. She is appreciating the pencil, and she's learning how to paint. You're getting into it, and she enjoys it. Every once in a while, she gets this burst of creativity, and she's running over to the table and starting to draw, because the paper, everything is already there. It's not like she has to go looking for anything. It's always at arm's length. So it's good.
Like I said, we all do what we. You know, we all have different bents, and I know one of the things I've always done is I've always been more of a technical type of an artist. I like to have – I was mechanical drawing. You know, that's what I like. I like to do something that's very rigid and precise and straight lines and angles. And I see my one daughter does that. You know, the younger one does that. But yet my older one is the free form, just kind of doing the flowers and the – which is great. I love watching people who don't have a boundary. So I'm like, damn, you don't have anything stopping you. You know, I make my own walls.
That's exactly what Kid is doing, because he's taking pinstriping, which is so rigid, which is so not angular, but you have to stay within the confines of your area and you can't deviate, and taking those restrictions and doing something free-flowing from it. And I'm having a hard time kind of comprehending this.
Yeah, he put it into a box. I know. He did the opposite. He took it and put, well, if you look at it, I mean, pinstripes do have a defined place on a car. And, yeah, maybe the nose and the Deckard guys that go a little wilder with the L.A.-style graphics or the Chicano-style graphics, which is very cool. But other than that, they're pretty much subdued and contained. I don't think I've ever seen a whole car that was done in, I've seen whole cars that were done in flames, but never a whole car done in pinstripes.
But Ray, think about it. When you talk about the Chicano way or the L.A. way, you have to do one design on one side and then flip it and mirror it on the other side. So you are restricting. And what Keith is doing is completely blew that out of the water and creating something with a certain amount of accuracy to the face, where you can look at his work and go, yeah, that's Keith Richards, or yeah, that's Kiss, or you know, anything along those lines, and yeah, that's Jay Leno. Those are the things that I'm finding fascinating, using a rigid medium as one-shot pinstripe paint.
See, that's what blows me away. When I do, you know, a schematic, or I do some, you know, whatever I'm drawing technical like that, it is what it is, no matter what the magnification is. When you look at a picture like what Keith is doing, you stand back and look at it and say, oh, yeah, that's whoever it is, Gene Simmons, or that's Keith Richards. But up close, it's just a bunch of little lines. And how the brain keeps in tune with that is far beyond my comprehension.
That is called art, my friend.
Talent.
That is called art and talent. That's what it is.
Do you have any younger folk in your circles that are kind of artistically, you know, show artistic talent that you work with or get to, you know, hang with to any degree?
Not any younger, but I mean, I get to hang out with, I go to bike shows and stuff like that and car shows. So we always hook up with different pinstripers in the areas and, you know, we're always talking and, and then I have four boys, and out of my four boys, I have two that are very artistic, and they're drawing really good. Their drawings are really well done.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. I like to see, you know, at this stage of my life, it's all about paying it forward. You know, I want to see the younger generations, you know, picking up that tool or picking up that brush and at least having an experience with something that they might not have had otherwise. And to me, that's very important. I'm glad to see that you're able to do that too. That's great. That's fantastic. How did you meet Lewis Lee?
Lewis, I saw that Lusoniago was going to be at a show, and I recognized him from the TV show. So I was like, and it was a car bike show. So I took my bike out there. I took my car out there. I just drove out there, I should say. I don't have a car. I just got a bike as far as what I show. And I was out there talking to Lou. And then I found out that Lewis and him were together. And we just started shooting the breeze. And we'd see each other at bike nights here and there. And then the next thing you know, I saw him one time at the store. And we're talking. He said he was going to SEMA. And I says, man, I'd love to go to SEMA. You want to go? And I'm like, okay, so I went to SEMA with Lewis and his wife, and we've been friends since. And Lewis is an awesome guy. I mean, this guy, if he wants something, he can make it. He's unbelievable.
He was showing off, Chris, he was showing us off on Thursday night the work that he's making workbenches in his garage that are, they're all self-contained because he doesn't have a lot of space, so they have to be multifunctional.
Right.
And he is a hell of a woodworker, man. He's doing some cool stuff.
That is amazing. So, yeah. That's where I was Thursday night. I was under the 300 working on that thing. Okay. So, and I was thinking about getting the laptop and bringing it over to the bench, but it's the sign in scariness that I'm like, oh god, I got to go through that sign in process. I have to give you my social security number, and I have to give you a blood type and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Keith, what type of bike is it that you have that you show? I know it's a Harley, but I never did ask you about your bike, and I'm So,
I do have a Harley. I got a Ultra Limited. That's my go bike. But my show bike is an 1100 V Star Yamaha.
Whoa! Okay.
That nobody knows that it's a Yamaha. And I built the bags. It's got 59 Cadillac taillights on it. And
nice.
But
yeah, that was the first time doing fiberglass. I did the stretch on the bags and put a fairing on it. And yeah, it's taken a few prizes.
What made you go with that platform as opposed to something more traditional?
Well, I had the Yamaha first, and so I was riding it, and I was like, I want something different. So I start messing around with it, and then the fellow that got me into the pinstriping, he had his garage, so I would just go over there and work with him, and yeah, there it is. And had a ball, learned how to do fiberglass and everything else, so built the bags and did all that.
Right. Awesome. Oh, very cool. That's good. Yeah, it must be. Maybe it's an Ohio thing because Lewis, you know, he's got his Yami also, which is, you know, around here you don't see quite a lot of Yamahas. You never did out of the big four UJWs. That was always number four. You know,
yeah,
UJMs. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was always. But they make some cool stuff and in real nice stuff.
Yeah, we got all kinds of. I mean, you see everything around here. You really do. I mean, yeah, the Harley outdoes all the other makes, and that's the reason I got the Harley, just more comfortable for the wife so we could do longer trips, because right. I turned the Yamaha into a solo, so yeah. to get the effect that I wanted with the
yeah
the
kind of what Lewis does, him and his stereo.
Yeah.
He's got some... Is it a big culture out there, big car culture out there, Keith, by you, big car, big bike culture?
Oh, yeah. We have cars that you're seeing them run around all the time. And even with what's going on this with the COVID, there's a car show going on today. There was one last weekend that I attended with my bike. And, I mean, there's still quite a bit of cars running around. I mean, unfortunately, the shows aren't happening. But there was... Every weekend and even in the middle of the week, there's car cruises all the time under normal circumstances. So yeah, there is a lot out here.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, because I've noticed it by me is because I'm here in Connecticut and there's a lot of classic iron sitting in garages around here. But because of the uncertain times we live in,
yes,
there's been a lot of cruising around. It's kind of cool. It reminds me of the old days. I don't know if you cruised a lot in your teens and early 20s. I know we certainly did.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot of that. And then it all but disappeared. You know, of course, the cell phone did that in because you didn't have to go looking for your friends. If you think about it, that's what we spent most of our adolescent time doing, was looking for our friends. That's what we were doing. True. You cruise around looking for girls or looking for your friends, one or the other. It was what you were doing. Now you got a cell phone. It solves all those problems.
Keith, as we get close now to the end of the show, we only have a few minutes left. If you want to throw out any contact information so people can find you on any of the platforms, however you choose to have people contact you, please throw that out now so they can
know. Okay, my name's Keith Sturgeon, Sturgeon, just like the fish. You can find me on Facebook and just send me a friend request or message me. And also I got my Skeeters graphics within X, and that's where I have a page. And I'm starting to put together an Etsy page and an actual website I want to get together too. So
nice.
I'm trying to get it out there, slow but sure.
Yeah, lots of it. A little at a time.
Cool.
And I really appreciate you guys having me on. This is awesome. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Now, as soon as I started
we love it.
Hanging around you, I said, we got to get this guy on. This is right up our alley. And, of course, the pinstripe stuff is nothing new to us. Of course, having guys like Artie Schilling on and all that was, it's just another part of language of the broader dialect that we all speak, cars and bikes and custom stuff. You know,
right. So
we just have a ball with it. But
and how we throw the artistic thing into all of it, which is especially coming from your end, Keith. What you're doing is magnificent. I'm blown away by it.
No, thank you.
And if people want to see more of Keith, he typically hangs out Thursday nights with us on Plane and Traffic. Mm-hmm. So it's usually towards the end of the night when we do our free-for-all thing. That's when you'll be able to get a word in edgewise with him. Unless he can get in earlier, you never know. We're kind of guest heavy on that show. So that's what we try to do. We try to migrate between the two shows. And so far, we're pretty good. We're having a good success with it. But, yeah, do that on Thursdays as well. So I guess, I should – well, we only got about a minute left, and then we're going to wrap. So any closing thoughts, gentlemen, before we end this rodeo?
What do you got planned? What's your next project, Keith? What's the next thing, next blank canvas?
The next one is a portrait of John Belushi.
All right. Now you're talking.
Black and white.
Now you're talking.
I don't know what made me pick him, but I just was looking around, and I was like, hey, this would be a good one.
You got many different versions I can think of. What do you plan on going? The Animal House version?
No, this is like a serious portrait of him that I found. Oh. Yeah, and you can. He looks tired, you know.
I was going to say I thought Animal House was serious, but okay.
Yeah. For us, it was.
Yeah. Defining right. Moment in my life.
On that note, fellas, we're going to have to wrap because Kim is ready to come in with Thunder Road, Best of Bruce Springsteen. And we'll be back more next week. Keith, thank you very much for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
And I appreciate you having me.
For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino saying, Motormouth Radio, over and out. We'll see you next week. And Chris, final words?
Don't follow us home. See you.
All right, 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.